Good morning, church. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. I know it's a little cool outside, but hey, if my almost 82-year-old dad can get up early this morning and drive in mid-teens weather with ice and snow on the ground and go preach 35 miles away from his house, most of us can make it to be together today, right? Absolutely. I want to begin this first worship gathering, this first sermon, like we did as we began the worship gathering. We began in prayer, and I was to begin simply with letting some of God's word kind of flow over us this morning. We're going to hear some apostolic teachings, first of all, from the Apostle Paul, then the Apostle John, and then the Apostle Peter. Just let these words kind of pour over you today. It's a big picture theme. It's important at the beginning of a new year. From 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. That person is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. The only way to renewal, to become a new and recreated person, is in Jesus Christ. Here again, the Apostle Paul, this time Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewal or the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The way to God's will is being transformed. It's a renewal process that God wants to do in us. Then, now, the Apostle John, over in the last part of your Bible, right before maps there, that last book is maps, right? Revelation 21, verse 1. John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything, say it with me, church, I'm making everything. That's what God wants to do. I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and they are true. John must have been very familiar with an Old Testament prophet called Isaiah, because Isaiah introduces us to this new heavens and the new earth, this renewal process that is already started, but yet it's not fully here. And yet at the same time, God calls us to be a part of his renewal project. And that's what I want to talk about today at the beginning of this year, how we can be a part and look even forward to God's renewal project in our lives. Now, there's one more, and that's the one we're going to be studying today, and that's from the Apostle Peter. If you have a Bible, you can flip there, or you have some of those in the pew rack in front of you down there. You can grab one of those. Turn over to 2 Peter, or you can just click on your device, scroll over to 2 Peter chapter 3. It's where we'll spend the rest of our time this morning. 2 Peter 3, starting with verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done there will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? That's a pretty good question. What kind of people should we be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, looking forward to that new heaven and that new earth, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. You see, we need to see the big picture, especially here at the beginning of a new year, because our vision is too limited sometimes. And the pace of life is moving so fast. I was talking to someone just this morning, and they were saying, I said, how did your holidays go? And they said, man, it just kind of just went so fast. And they were describing everything they went to be a part of, every place they attended, all kinds of things that they experienced during this time. It's just like one thing after another. Our times are moving quickly. And it seems like everything else is up for change. It's not uncommon for me to be talking with someone either in our community or even somebody here in our church family. And one of the themes that typically comes up when I ask, how are you doing? They're saying, well, I'm struggling because, man, everything's changing. I heard it recently in a conversation at breakfast. Somebody said, my job, everything's changing with my job. It's always changing. Technology, right? Society, culture, values, morals. We get the idea that everything is up for grabs. And in many senses, perhaps it is. Things are changing as quickly as the weather in Texas, right? You don't like it? Stick around. It'll change in a couple of days. And then it'll change again. And then it'll change again. But the question is, in the midst of all this change and all this acceleration of life, how do you prepare for life in God's future? How do we prepare for the life God wants to bring about in his renewal project? Now, sometimes the chaos and the pace of change just makes us focus on our narrow tunnel vision circle of life, just me and mine, and we just sort of draw a little imaginary circle around us, and we just kind of want to stay right there and sort of be living in the illusion of safety there. We sometimes don't see the big picture. Several years ago out in West Texas, some of you know about West Texas. Well, there was a little small, very low wattage radio station, an AM radio station. And one of the local preachers there, and it was like, I don't know, 150 watts. It probably only went out 20 or 25 miles to the edge of the county line, probably. And one of the preachers had a morning program, and he began every morning there by simply saying, hello, world. You know, well, I got news for him. His world that he's talking to is very, very, very small. And not even all the people that live there are listening to him, right? He just kind of thought his existence was right there, it seems. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a big picture. God's doing big things on planet Earth and beyond. And that's what we've already read about today. There's a bigger picture to life on this planet, and living effectively into that future is what we want to talk about. Now, imagine it this way. You go to a movie. Some of us, we have a tradition in our family, and we went to see Spider-Man, the latest Spider-Man movie, Christmas evening. Really good. We had my dad, and we had my sister and her family, and all of our family, and we couldn't even all sit on the same row, but we were all in there, and I had that big thing of popcorn. I mean, that big thing of popcorn. And I smuggled some fudge in that Cheryl made. It was a really, really great experience. And it's a kind of a new theater, and it has those nice seats that you sort of kick back in, you know. They even have heaters on the seats in this theater in Wichita Falls, Texas. Really? And so we're watching Spider-Man. And I'll tell you, there's some cool background music going on, and it's in surround sound, and man, it's in 4K HD. So there's one way to experience a movie, and that's a really cool way to experience a movie. We get the full effect there. Or perhaps, think about it, if you were trying to watch the same thing on a little 1960s or 70s version portable black and white TV set with one of those little speakers that's kind of dried out about 10 years ago, crackling there, would it be the same experience? 4K HD, surround sound, or that little black and white TV set? Obviously, it'd be a big, big difference. Well, I'm convinced in these passages we're looking at today that God wants us to get the full effect. God wants us to experience this renewal project that he has in mind. And so 2 Peter 3 gives us some Christian survival strategies or renewal strategies for 2022 and beyond. They can help us propel into God's future, live that life God wants us to live in his future. And the first one is simply this: renewed people choose eternal perspectives. They choose eternal perspectives. They think in terms of eternity. They don't think about just now, the mundane details, you know, of life. Sometimes we look at those things that we go through as life, and all of a sudden we start elevating them when we think they're more important than we really are. We think they're do or die. It was Dean Smith, the coach of the University of North Carolina Tar Heels many years ago, Hall of Fame coach, passed on. Dean Smith said, if you think every situation in your experience is do or die, then guess what? You're going to die a lot. You just are. It's not always do or die. And so he reminds us to keep your eye on the big picture. And that's what Peter's trying to do. In order to keep things in perspective, we need to ask one question. Will this make a difference in 10 years or 20 years or 50 years or 100 years or 200 years or 2,000 years? Is it really going to make a difference? Keep your eye on the big picture is the first thing I want to encourage you. Now, 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, here's what he says. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. 1,000 years are like a day. These words remind us that there's a big picture going on, that the Lord sees more than we see. And I think Peter says, you need to get a glimpse of what God sees. 1,000 years are like a day. We need to understand that God is in it for the long haul. God is in it in this renewal project in our lives for life transformation, the renewing of our minds to become a new creation, to experience new heavens and new earth. Well, yeah, it was inaugurated when Jesus came and lived and died and was resurrected, and it's still being lived out in us. And we're called to join up with where we are in that process even now. And it means a lot of stuff on this earth, frankly, doesn't matter as much as we think it does. Maybe you heard the old story about the guy who's a multi-millionaire. And he decided he wanted to take it all with him. So he told his wife, promise me, babe, promise me that you'll bury all my money with me. She was hesitant and thought, what are you crazy? Promise me. Okay, you're getting old and senile, but I'll promise you. And so the inevitable day did come, and the guy dies right there. He's on his deathbed. He says, remember the promise. She nods, pats him on the head, and he passes on. Well, she tried to figure out what she was going to do. And there at the end of the memorial service, as she's the last one there before they close the casket for the very first time, she reaches into her purse and says, I promised. And she pulls out a check for millions of dollars and tucks it right inside his coat and says, knock yourself out, babe. Some things just don't matter, right? A lot of this stuff in this world don't matter as much as we think they do. So renewed people try to keep eternal perspectives. They choose, in fact, to keep eternal perspectives. The second thing I want to tell you is that renewed people, they maximize every moment. They maximize every moment. They make the most of every moment. Peter says 1,000 years are like a day, but just as important, he also says in verse 8, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. That stresses the importance of even one single 24-hour period. If a day is like 1,000 years, then guess what? I better make the most of that day. I'm not contradicting what I just said before, that we need to keep an eye on that eternal perspective. But I am saying we also, if we're going to be renewed the way God wants us to be renewed, must maximize every single moment. We can't be like those people that are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good, because what we do on this earth matters. What we do on this earth matters. Now, there's a very crucial distinction. We must learn to live in the moment, but not for the moment. Big difference. Live in the moment, not for the moment. Living for the moment is, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're going to die. Living in the moment is for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, as Paul would say in Philippians 1. Now, there's something really unique here in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. Peter talks about a transformation of the earth. And some people say, well, it's a total destruction. It's an annihilation of the earth. But I'm not sure that's a very good reading, really. What's clear is that the day of the Lord will be surprising. Look at verse 10. The day of the Lord will be like a thief, right? Thieves don't register, right, and say, can I get on your calendar? I want to rob you. They don't do that. Not at all. We don't know when this is going to happen. It could be tomorrow. It could be a million years. It could be 10 million years. I don't have any way of knowing, and neither do you. Neither do you. So Peter's not interested in your prediction, but he is interested in your preparation. We need to learn to live like the Lord is coming back. And so Peter uses this judgment imagery of fire. I think that's what's going on here. And whether literal fire or metaphorical fire, the earth and everything in it, verse 10 says, it's all going to be laid bare. In other words, God's bringing a judgment, and fire is the imagery that's used here. Fire is often used as a judgment imagery in Scripture. It refines things, right? It gets rid of the impurities. And I think that's probably what Peter's describing here. Because it's not an annihilation. There's a new heavens and new earth coming, and we're a part of that renewal project. It's not like just everything goes away. No, God is going to refine in his judgment. The evil will disappear. But the good, the holy, the pure, the just, it will be all in all. That's the way it is in God's final state of restoration. It's a judgment that ultimately will result in a new heavens and new earth. And God calls us to live into that even now. Live in the moment. No. Yes. Live in the moment, not for the moment. Live every day like it counts. I've been watching a lot of football recently. But there are a couple games I missed. I didn't get to watch that I really wanted to watch. And so what I did is in the evening when I got back home, I tuned into ESPN. And what ESPN does is they give you the little snippets, the little bits and pieces that happened in a ball game. And so this particular bowl game that I was very interested in, the person who was the announcer, he said, well, here are the highlights real quickly before we go to a commercial break. And he started naming these three or four plays that made such a big difference. There's the missed field goal. There's the interception. There's the fumble. And so that was the game. But then I talked to somebody that watched the game. They're a fan. They're an alum of that university. And they said, yeah, but really and truly, that wasn't the play that made the big difference. What happened was we went for it on fourth down three times, and we didn't make it. We didn't make it. None of those showed up on the highlights on ESPN. But those were the difference-making plays. Every coach knows that. There are those kind of plays, right? There just really are. And they don't make the highlights, but they determine the outcome of the game. Sure, there'll be those flashy things that everybody notices and wants to put on the highlights, but there are those day in, day out things that every one of us can do to live in the moment, but not for the moment. Every single day matters, and every moment of every day matters. And so as we face life in 22 and beyond, we need to learn to live in that moment and not just for that moment. Now, I do feel obligated to point out one problem about living in the past. There's a passage I want you to hear from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. It's about nostalgia. Ecclesiastes 7, 10. Do not say, why were the good old days better than these? You ever talked about the good old days, right? You ever been around the table at a family gathering and somebody says, well, I remember back in the day. And so they tell this story. And usually, you know, it's either about something really, really bad or something really, really good. It's probably gotten exaggerated a little bit one way or the other through the years, right? The good old days, back in the day. Don't say why were the old days better than these, for it's not wise to ask such questions. The Bible says you got to move on from the past. There's not an idealistic time period in history. Some of us think, well, you know, after the war in America and the Industrial Revolution and the beginning of the Scientific Revolution was really, and technology was really a big deal. And so that was the place, and we all lived in our wonderful white picket fence lots, and we didn't have to lock our doors at night, and that's the wonderful place, and that is God's ideal time in history. Well, I want to tell you, it wasn't God's ideal time in history for everybody at that point. If you really are concerned about the good old days, if you're stuck about the good old days, I just want to remind you, go home today, turn off your heat today, and go chop wood. And then next week, when it's 85, we set a record yesterday for heat, right? And then turn off your air conditioner and open up your windows. Sometimes the good old days aren't all they're cracked up to be. Well, we need to choose an eternal perspective, and we need to maximize every single moment. And the last thing I want to tell you is we need to learn to prepare for the best. God's doing something, and it's good. God's doing something, and it's a renewal. It's making things that are not as they should be. That's what God wants us to understand. So most of us are pretty good about preparing for the worst, right? We get insurance. We buy insurance for stuff because we want to protect ourselves from the worst. And that's good, right? That's really, really good. We ought to protect ourselves in that sense. We buy insurance for our health. We buy insurance for our cars. We buy insurance for our houses. We lock our doors. We install alarms. We put in smoke detectors. We back up our computers. We have virus detectors. We put away money for a rainy day. We grab the longest possible warranty because we want things to last. We want to prepare for the worst. Sometimes we even carry umbrellas when the sun's shining, just in case. I've been around Houston long enough to know, just in case, right? We know how to prepare for the worst. And those are sometimes very necessary things to do. However, if that's all you do is prepare for the worst, you just might miss out on the best that God wants to do. And that's what Peter's reminding us. His point in chapter 3, verse 13, in keeping with his promise, we look forward. We look forward, right? We look forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Christianity is not just about looking into the past and remembering something. In a few moments, somebody's going to be up here, and they're going to say some words, and we're going to have a meal of remembrance. We call it the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. We call it the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. And we remember Jesus on the cross. But Paul would remind us, we don't just remember Jesus then. We remember Jesus, and we anticipate his coming until he comes. We're looking forward to something. And so this big, bad annihilation that some people see here in 2 Peter chapter 3, don't miss the big picture. We can look forward to what's coming in the new heavens and new earth. When God's judgment comes, and God's judgment will come, it'll be the evil, it'll be the impure that goes away. But the good will be left. God is setting all things right. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient, patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I want to encourage you today, choose an eternal perspective. Maximize every single moment and prepare to receive God's best. Because God is worthy. God's worthy of every song you could ever sing. God's worthy. He's worthy of every praise you could ever bring. And God is worthy. God is worthy of every breath you could ever breathe. So won't you live for him in this new year? Let's be standing right now and let's sing about that very same theme. Let's don't lose sight of the big picture.